Hi everyone, welcome to The Skinny, where we get down to the nitty-gritty of style, fashion, beauty, and living an empowered life. I'm your host, Shazan, a fashion and beauty expert in the industry for 20 plus years, a wife, mom of two, and I'm here to help you become your most beautiful and confident self from the inside out on a savvy budget. One of the most noticeable accessories anyone can wear is a hat. One of the quotes that I love is, if you want to get ahead, get a hat. And this is a quote by Charles Sidney Catlin, and he was born in London and passed away back in 1991. But according to the ad slogans of UK, which I had no idea that they actually had a record of all of these amazing slogans, but this slogan in particular is recognized in the Advertising Slogan Hall of Fame as one of the most notable slogans alongside other slogans like let your finger do the walking and if you got it, flaunt it. So I have this little bit of juicy information about Mr. Charles Catlin. And Cord, I'm going to read it to you from ad slogan. And Charles had actually gone in for an interview for a job with an advertising company and had shown them this portfolio for his job. So in this portfolio, which included the actual saying, if you want to get ahead, get a hat, was a poster that he created with this. So he had made this, you know, as one of his pieces to impress them for the interview. His interview didn't go well, according to them, and he wasn't hired for the job. So, you know, you move on, you're sad, whatever, but you move on. But guess what now? Some months later, he saw this actual saying all over, like, the advertisements that were in the London Underground. This same exact thing. So they had actually stolen his slogan and used it. And didn't hire him, mind you, but they used it. And needless to say, he was angry, pissed, whatever word you want to put in there. But it was like a bit confusing for him because he felt proud to see his work. But now here was this advertising of his slogan. And he just ended up using this to his benefit as a message, like to everyone and to family, to like always safeguard your own work, which we all know today is still very important with social media and all of these different things. But it became a part of, here it is, the Hall of Fame. If you want to get ahead, get a hat. And I think that is like, it's really simple, but it's amazing because it is one of the most notable accessories there is. Everybody's going to see it. You can't hide this accessory. So I would say that was a bit shady of a story that happened all the way back then, but it still happens today. But here it is, you know, we learned from that. And cover your stuff, get it covered, designs, you name it, whatever it is, just, you know, cover your stuff. Let's learn from Mr. Charles. Well, today on the show, I have the pleasure of speaking with an amazingly talented and fierce accessory designer and milliner, Anthony Maxwell. And before I go any further, let me just let you know, a milliner, for those who aren't aware, is someone who designs and constructs women's hats. And you've more than likely seen his work. Anthony Maxwell's headpieces and hats have been featured in Cosmopolitan Bride, Elle Magazine, Essence Magazine, W Magazine, Japanese, Italian, and American Vogue. And those are just a few of them, by the way. And his designer pieces have also been photographed by legendary fashion photographers, Bruce Weber and Steven Meisel. And Maxwell's first collection actually debuted in Bergdorf Goodman, which is amazing. And this is Bergdorf Goodman, again, for those who might not be familiar with the store, familiar with New York, is this luxurious department store on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. And post this debut, Women's Wear Daily deemed him as the rising star. So they found out about what I knew about him from years ago. But Anthony Maxwell, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Skinny. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so good to talk to you. We have known each other for a long time, haven't we?
It is. Oh my gosh. Like, let's not even add the years because we're younger than the time.
I know. It's been a long time. It's been a great time, though. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I was like, ooh, that was a lot of stuff.
Do you see, sometimes you need others to kind of bullet point
to remind you. Exactly.
Yeah, you're in the rat race, and many times you don't even realize all the stuff that's behind you. But and that I've talked about is just some of your accomplishments, which is amazing.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
And I must tell
you, it's good to be here with you on the Skinny.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I said it's great to be here with you on the Skinny.
Thank you. I mean, I love having you here, and just seeing all of the tremendous things that have happened with both of our lives over the years. And so to be able to do this is just incredible. But I wanted to tell you congratulations on a couple of other things where your luxury hair accessories for Modern Day Bride made its debut in Henri Bendel, which is another amazing store, back in 2013. So
thank you.
That's...
Yeah, thank you.
How, what is
yeah,
your...
Yeah, we had to branch out.
What happened?
No, I said we branched out a little bit. You know, we were just doing hats for Bergdorf Goodman. Mm-hmm. And then we realized that the hair accessories world was just huge. And so a couple of people saw me and they said, well, why don't you do some hair accessories? So I coupled with a jeweler and we started creating the hair accessories collection.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have a favorite
style? Yeah, that's
been
good.
Now to design like bridal or everyday, is there a favorite that you have?
You know me, Shazan. You know, I'm very much into things that people probably wouldn't normally wear. I'm very much editorial. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that I love. But, you know, I love a great fedora.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, you can't ever go wrong. And so lately we've been doing a lot of wide brim fedoras, the way it, you know, kind of the Pharrell hats or what they're calling them today. But you know, it's nothing new under the sun with those kind of hats. But I love those kind of hats.
I mean, they're all state. I don't know if you remember this, but after I left New York and we had worked on Fashion Week together, you had sent me a pink fedora. Do you remember sending me that? This was so long. This was like back in the early 2000, maybe 2002, 2003, but do you remember sending me, you've gone through some.
Yes, I do. No, I remember. That was a, yeah, that's a roll tip fedora is what they call that.
Well, I need to add that in when I'm telling people about my hat, that it's still on the top of my closet, completely covered. And to be touched by no one and only taken out for fierce occasions. I still have it.
That's great. That's why I love that hat. You know, I made that exact same hat too. Uh-huh. Kind of a little bit different for you, but I also made one for Faith Evans and for Wendy Williams.
Ooh.
Because it's such a cute... It's such a cute hat and it kind of flares up in the back, you know?
Yes.
And,
it's really cute. And so
very feminine.
It definitely is. And it's such a, you can either balance that with something that's really more so of a delicate, soft outfit to make the statement, or what I've done, I've like paired it with a white from head to toe suit with the pink.
Ooh, okay.
So yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Very versatile, just so that you know.
Yes. Well, you know, it's so funny because the fedora in and of itself is always that you can pinch it in the front. That's how you can tell a fedora. You can pinch it with your three hands, your three fingers in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we did a hat for Lynn Whitfield, the actress.
Uh-huh.
And she's gonna be modeling that hat in a fashion show tomorrow for the American Heart Association, the red runway show tomorrow here in New York. So that's going to be fun.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be awesome. But one of the other things that recently, well, I don't know how recent, you can tell me, but Martha Stewart commissioned you to make hats for her personal collection. What is that process like?
Well,
I mean, even to be commissioned by Martha Stewart, how does that come into the portfolio?
Well, it's so funny. I was actually coming down a hallway in New York City, and I saw her coming towards me, and she saw me, and she said, "I really like that hat you have on," because I had on a hat that day, a fedora. And so, and then, so she's like, "Oh, this is a, I like it." And then she didn't ask me, but she just took it off my head, and she was like, "Okay, let me see." And so she started looking at it, and she says, "This is perfect." I said, "Oh, well, thank you. I make them." She says, "Oh, really? You're a milliner?" I said, "I am." And then so we started talking, and she kept looking at it, and she was like, "This is size 23. This is my head size." And she says, "Well, I want one." Okay. So then we get on the elevator together, and I do my, what, a 15-second elevator pitch?
Right. No, perfect.
True story. And that's how it started.
Amazing. Yep.
And she said she wanted a hat, and so they contacted me, and we did it. We did two hats for her. And then after that, her team contacted me, and they said that they wanted me to be a part of the American Made Summit Conference, which is where Martha takes, and she does this entire weekend of hosting and building up American businesses, small businesses.
Wow.
So we were a part of that conference, and it was great. It was amazing. Okay. And let me tell you how influential that is. So we come in, and we kind of do like a vending type situation. It's large, beautiful room at the headquarters, at Martha Stewart headquarters. Just before the conference started, I hadn't sold anything. And then she recognized me, and she says, "Oh, I know you." And she comes down off of the stage, and she looks at my stuff, and she asks me, "Are you okay?" I said, "I'm doing good." And she says, "Well, you're making any money today?" I said, "Well, about to." And as soon as she left after we had our conversation, I sold about $2,000 worth of stuff in 20 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
So that just goes to show you how, you know, how wonderful that is. And the whole team, the whole Martha Stewart team was absolutely amazing. Some of the most amazing people I've ever met. Sweet, professional, at the top, and they're just so prolific in what they do that, like, you just feel so well supported.
Right.
But I can't thank her enough for her support. I really can't.
What, for our listeners, what does it mean to be commissioned? Because you've also been commissioned by a number of amazing, influential people. And being commissioned by her, for those that are listening, what exactly does it mean to be commissioned by someone or a designer or an actor to do something like what you're doing now?
Well, I think from an artist standpoint of view, I think that's probably one of the highest compliments you can have, because the person, you know, whatever expertise they are, like, take, for example, when I was commissioned by June Ambrose, who is a, you know, she's a celebrity stylist. You kind of go like, okay, what can I possibly do for her? But then you have to remember that they're coming to you for whatever expertise you have.
Right.
And so that's the great thing, that they see you on as an expert in what you do. So she's, you know, like I say, for example, Martha Stewart is an expert in what she does, but she doesn't know how to make hats.
Right.
She's not a milliner.
Right.
So for her to esteem me and say, "I want you to do this for me." And then when I bought her the hat, and she's like, "I love it. It's fabulous. It's amazing." It just kind of validates you as an artist.
Right.
That other people will esteem you for what you do.
Yeah.
And that's how I've always known, just that that's who I am. I am a milliner.
Yeah. And so when did you start designing and constructing hats?
Well, you know, I was, this was back in, what, 2000? I had started, I was in design school, and I was actually wanting to be a clothing designer. And then someone said, "Well, why don't you take a hat class, like, as an elective?" I said, "Okay, that sounds kind of fun." And then immediately when I went into the class, I was like, this is what I need to do. I immediately felt like everything that they were teaching in the class, I felt like I already knew. I was like, okay, I know this already. And I didn't know how I knew it. I just knew it. And I was just like, this is kind of crazy. And so I didn't take any more classes after that, because I felt like I already had the information in my head.
Right.
I just hadn't tapped into it.
Right.
But that was kind of a weird experience. But at that point in time, I knew that that's what I wanted to be, was a milliner.
So this is so intriguing to me, but how do you make a hat. Like we see them, and for the everyday person, you see the hats. But for example, like the fedora, which is just a staple, I think a timeless lifetime staple that will live on forever. How do you make a hat? Like take me from your initial design to the pink hat on my head.
Okay. Well, you know, all hats, there's two different kinds of hats. Mm-hmm. There's the blocked hats. That's the one that you have, which is a wool based hat. Mm-hmm. And those hats are the kinds that you normally see people with, like the fedora. You know, Frank Sinatra was very famous for wearing fedoras. A lot of people see that, people like Cedric the Entertainer wears a hat every time. So mm-hmm. those type of hats, those kinds of people usually wear, those are blocked. And then okay. those hats are blocked on a wooden block. So what happens okay. is that there's a piece of wool felt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We wet the wool
mm-hmm.
and then stretch it over the wooden block. The wooden block is shaped just like what a hat is.
Okay.
But it's a wooden block, an actual wooden block. And then we stretch it over. It's ironed. It's placed in an oven.
Oh.
And it comes out and then it's steamed. Okay. And then it's placed back in the oven.
Uh-huh.
And then when it comes out, then it gets hard and it dries. And then at that point, you trim it and you sew it up.
Wow.
Sew the edges.
There's a lot, which this also explains the costs that you may see on
right.
certain hats, because I mean, I had no idea of how in depth, especially because
yeah.
you have the custom designs and all of these things that you have to do. I mean, the process
it
for
is.
Each hat, there's a lot that goes into it.
Right. So when you see a really good hat, and you say, wow, that's kind of expensive, but you feel the quality of it and you know that it's going to last. It's kind mm-hmm. of like an heirloom. And
right.
that's the reason why it's almost like a really, really good pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get a good pair of shoes, you pay for it, but you know they're going to last. So
right.
It's the same thing with a hat. It's like, it's one of those things. So that's what we call a block hat. And
okay.
usually what will happen is that the block usually comes in two pieces. The crown and
mm-hmm.
the brim.
Oh, yeah,
the
okay.
crown is the head part.
Okay.
So what they do is that's how you get different designs. So you connect two different blocks, the crown and the brim. So you can switch it up. So like, take for example, if you have like a high crown and
mm-hmm.
you want a short brim, you connect those two blocks together. It's almost like a puzzle. It's in a groove and then you
wow.
twist it and it connects together.
Okay.
So, and those blocks are super, super expensive. Generally
speaking,
well,
that's what I was going to ask. It's like the attachment of lens.
$500.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so the block usually is about $500.
Whoa.
Yeah. So then, so that's what we called a block hat.
Mm-hmm.
The other type of hat is called a cut and sew, and that's basically like you see like people when they have like leather hats,
uh-huh.
like the what we call the page boy kind of the newspaper boy hat, or something
uh-huh.
like that. Those kinds of hats are what we call cut and sew.
Okay.
A baseball cap is usually what we call a cut and sew hat because it's an actual piece of fabric that's flat.
Uh-huh.
It's laid out just like a regular pattern. And then when it's sewn together, then it takes a shape.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
what we call cut and sew. So like a
okay.
baseball cap is what we call a cut and sew hat. Mm-hmm.
So with everything that you have going on right now, do you still make all of your hats from beginning to end yourself, or do you have a team now? Because you're extremely busy.
Well, I have a team now. And so what we do is, it depends on how large the order is.
Okay.
So I will, you know, I rent a factory.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I go in for a large order, I bring the fabrications. I come and I sit with the team, and then we develop the collection, and then it's produced for mass market.
Oh, okay.
And so it's really become a very it's become a process that's really, really been intense, simply because
mm-hmm.
so much of the factories have now been moved overseas to like China
okay.
and Indonesia.
Okay.
And so in New York, it's really tough to find a good millinery factory
mm-hmm.
that has all of the elements that you need to do serious production.
Right.
So that's why a lot of times it's better for me to sell to high-end stores because the process is expensive.
Okay. And so this is another layer that I didn't even realize that you had the option of going in and having a factory work along with you in this way so that you don't have to then take on that continuous overhead of maintaining a factory, you know, regardless of your order size. So that's something I didn't even realize that that was an option as well. So is this a degree?
It's still an option.
Which is fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's an option, but it's largely becoming very small. As you know, the garment district has really, really downsized in the last couple of years because a lot of those jobs have went overseas.
Yeah.
So that's why it was really important for us to be a part of what Martha Stewart was doing with American Made, was because she supports American Made businesses.
Right.
And so that was really, really important. But then a lot of times people don't realize that, generally speaking, with a handmade, hand-blocked hat, generally right out of the box, the cost is going to be at least $150.
Right.
And so some people go like, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. But it's not when you look at the fact that it's handmade, it's made in America, and the quality of it is so much different than what you would get if you found something that was on the street.
Right.
And it was a hat that cost you $20.
Right. Because, I mean, is this something that you see then in the future for yourself where you're going to probably have to create this space and factory for yourself to maintain what you're doing? Or is there enough going on in New York right now to maintain you as you are?
Well, I think what we've been trying to do is because, you know, to actually glean all of those different blocks with them being so super expensive. I mean, it would take so much money.
Yeah.
So what we've been trying to do is really partnership with companies that still exist in New York and in Pennsylvania and still like make sure that they stay open. You know, like, so we've been really working with a few companies to make sure that they don't leave New York City, that they stay here.
So, and I think it's great to bring the awareness to this side of it as well, because you have so many people that are in great support of American businesses and American warehouses and factories. So it's like this awareness is also tremendously important
to share that
support is needed for these companies so that they can stay here and jobs can be here as well.
It's super, super important. That's why I was so, so pleased to be a part of the Martha Stewart American Made Summit and conference, and just excited. And when we were all there, so many small businesses from across the country that were there, and everybody was super excited. And it was just good to meet other business people to know that you're not alone in this entrepreneurial endeavor. You're not alone. There's people there that are doing the same thing, you know, and so we're all in it together.
I think what Martha Stewart is doing is really incredible, and just her business ethics and her creativity and work for over the years has been something that I personally have admired, because she taps into so many layers of creativity. But then you can see as a businesswoman where she's really business minded and progressive in her involvements and partnerings. So I think for her to do that is it's brilliant, and it's great because it is giving back and it's bringing awareness, but it's also moving forward in such a positive direction.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's changed my life, like being a part of their team and working with them. It's really changed me because I always knew that I had the ability, I think, but to have someone older and more experience to kind of support you and say, okay, this is why you need to do it, and you need to go this way, you need to do this, and you know, and then give you a team of people to kind of support you. It's been life changing to me. Like, I every day when I work with them, because I've worked with them quite a bit, I'm blown away by just the level of professionalism, and just the visuals that come through too when you see people that are doing what they do and they do it so perfectly.
Yeah.
Like when you look at the magazines that that they produce, like the Martha Stewart Living magazine, every single magazine, you kind of go, is that real? And then when you, right. when you're part of the team, you realize that it is real.
Right.
That's the
right.
way, that's the way they operate. And it's true. And it's invigorating.
Well, you yeah. can actually see, like, if you see her on TV with any of her shows or during her mm-hmm. interviews and just in the manner in which she carries herself, that excellence or the pursuit of excellence is a priority for her. In the, it's not, you know, sometimes, I mean, and even in our careers over time, we see that, you know, now many people and many artists that have just come on the scene, they depend on Photoshop and fix it later. But we started, you and I, back when there wasn't the quick fix of Photoshop. So you had to strive for excellence from the very beginning, mm-hmm. whether, you know, it's in our photo shoots that we did and, you know, hair and makeup or design or styling or photography, that goal of excellence was there from the studio. So mm-hmm. to see how she is, you can see that that's just how, I guess that's just innate for her in business.
Yes. 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 And to,
so Maxwell, tell me, mm-hmm. Is a degree in design required for someone who wants to be a millionaire? Because you talked about being in school, but then you also talked about during your classes, realizing that this was knowledge that was already in your head. It just all came together and made sense. So is a degree in design required for someone to be a millionaire?
No, I don't think so. I think that if you can couple yourself with people who already know the trade, mm-hmm. I think that you can learn it from them. You can learn it from them. That's probably the best way to, you know, that's one of the best ways to go. I think the schooling doesn't take away. I think it can also add and help mm-hmm. because I think nowadays you have to be you can't just be a milliner. You have right. to be a salesperson. You have to know about social media. You have to know everything
right.
in order to kind of make your business successful. So schooling definitely doesn't hurt you. It can only help you, but right. it's not, you don't necessarily have to, that's not the only, you can go beyond that. You can mm-hmm. say, get the first on-hand training from a real milliner, but the okay. school can just help you a little bit. Yeah.
Right. So what are some of the factors that influence and inspire your specific style, your signature style, because you do have a signature style? Where does the influence and inspiration come for that?
I think that I've always been a very classic driven type person. Like mm-hmm. I like clean lines. I like simplicity, but yeah. with a sense of sexiness. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I'm not into a lot of elaborate things, mm-hmm. but I like things that are very clean and very simple and kind of sexy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's always kind of driven me. Just things that are classic and kind
right.
of elegant.
And then it becomes timeless.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, I'm very much driven by those kinds of images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, do you design hats for men as well? So we have seamstresses yeah. are mm-hmm. for women's clothing, and then you have tailor for men's clothing. So, is there a different technique or training that you need to have or keep in mind when designing men's hats?
Mm-mm. No, not at all. Not at all. It's all the same. It's all the same. It's pretty much because, like, take for example, all the hats that I designed for Martha mm-hmm. were pretty much because some people probably said they were men's hats, but okay. they look great on her.
Right.
No, there's just nothing. The only thing about that's really come to fruition in the last couple of years has been women's hair accessories. So now that we do things like combs, mm-hmm. that's always kind of like a woman thing, you know, like combs
okay.
and pins and headbands right. and bows and all that stuff, kind of stuff that are on, you know, combs and all that kind of, that's
right.
kind of a more of a more of a girl thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And of course the bridal hair accessories that we do, that's,
right.
you know, of course that's for women, but we found that some of the things that we design, you know, a man can wear them as well. He can wear them, like take for example, a lot of our head pins, a man can wear them on his lapel.
Oh, okay. Okay. So right. it goes both. It's like a unisex type of thing. It just goes with
yes.
your style, really.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
that's true.
So what is, I want to know this. I mean, there are a lot of great things that are happening, but what has been your proudest accomplishment so far? Because I know there's more to come, but so far, what's your proudest?
Wow. It's kind of hard. What I don't know. You know, what's really funny was when last year, after, because I've known you for years, I've been trying to get the New York Times to just, you know, say, hey, we see what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I tried. I just kept sending them information and blah, 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 blah. So last year, my friend said, hey, let's go to the Easter parade. I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go. I'm feeling kind of tired, whatever. Mm-hmm. He said, come on, let's go. So I start the night before and get me a big bottle of white wine and I'm drinking and I'm having a good time and I'm just being stupid. Like I'm just creating stuff. And I had been watching the movie, The Birds, the Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that would be kind of fun. So I go and I get these birds and I spray paint them and I put them on branches and I put it on a hat and I thought, oh, this is going to be crazy. And I'm just laughing and I'm having a good time and I'm a little bit tipsy.
Right. You're free.
So I'm free in my creative space, no doubt. And so when I come to, so I get out and I get in this cab and the guy was like, can we fit in this thing in the cab? I said, oh, sure. Right. So we get in and then we get there. As soon as I got out of the cab, there's a photographer standing there. He was like, oh my God, I love this hat. He says, what inspired this? I said, oh, Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds, you know, blah, 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 blah. I start laughing. And the next day I found out that it made the New York Times. And I was like,
I saw the picture. Crazy. I saw the photograph.
That was pretty funny because I was like, I wasn't even trying. I had not done anything. I was being stupid and it made the New York Times. Go figure.
Oh my, and see how things, it was meant to be, but how you thought or saw it happening, saw everything coming together for yourself with them, it just happened in such like an effortless way. And it was photographed, an amazing picture, by the way. If people, you guys actually need to look, listeners, go and look for Anthony Maxwell Time, look for it in the New York Times. And it's just, it's an amazing photograph.
Funny.
Huh?
Yeah, that was funny.
That definitely really is something that was, it's an extremely edgy piece and a statement piece, but then it just, it's still a classic piece, if that makes any sense, because the picture just came together and that was just so you. It was so you.
Yeah, it's a little bit kooky. It was funny. It was really funny.
Based on that hat, let me ask you, what's that would, I guess, fall under the category of a custom design. But for our listeners, what is the difference between custom design and ready to wear? And do you recommend one or the other?
No. You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, of course, ready to wear is our bread and butter. Mm-hmm. But and that would be like, your classic fedora. That's the stuff that we can make.
Right.
And then there's the other stuff, like what you saw on paper for the New York Times. That's just more like, that's just editorial.
Right.
It's just fun stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for anyone that's trying to get in the field or those who actually may be in it right now and in like a place of doubt, wanting to give up on their path? What advice?
Yeah, I think the thing is just move, keep moving, and never be afraid to put yourself out there. You know what I mean? Like, I talk to people all the time, and whenever I see someone that I want to talk to and they're crossing the path, I always think that might not happen again. So you better go ahead and you better speak up. You better have that business card ready. You better be ready to promote your business.
Right.
Because you may not have that opportunity ever again. And I'm saying that because it's happened to me so many times. When I got into Vogue magazine, that was because I was standing on a corner in New York City and I looked up into the to the right of me was standing Andre Leon Talley.
Oh.
And I thought, this is my chance. Like, I can't let this opportunity. It's a city of 8 million people, and I'm standing on the corner with Andre Leon Talley. Better believe I'm going to talk to him. Yes. So I turn around, and I said, hey, how are you? And he looks down at me, because he's really tall. He looks down and goes, oh, how are you?
Yes.
And we started talking, and that was that. And I was like, that's how I got into that whole Vogue thing, was just because I saw him and I didn't let him get away without me saying my part.
Right. And so tell everyone who may not know who Andre Leon Talley is. He's a statement in the industry all by himself.
Well, he used to be the editor at large in Vogue. And so, he's phenomenal. He's a great supporter of young designers.
Yeah.
So I've always admired him and his sense of style. Just great. Mm-hmm. And a really, really, really good person. And he does support young designers.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at this part of the show I have asked Shazon. So I have a question that came in. So it says, I'm not a hat wearer. How do I know what goes best with my outfit, or what is an appropriate hat for an event? Is there a guideline that I should keep in mind? So I'm going to turn that question over to you, the expert. Again, a quick review is, she's not a hat wearer. So how does she pick a hat best to go with an outfit, or what is a guideline to knowing the appropriate hat for an event? Is there something she should keep in mind for that?
Well, I think you always have to kind of, look at where you're going. The same way you would pick out an outfit or shoes.
Yeah.
You just kind of know where you're going and what it's all about. And I always really recommend, for anybody, I recommend a really good fedora, just because kind of you can dress it up or dress it down.
Yes.
And you just kind of, what you can do is you kind of look at your face in the mirror and you pick out a fedora that either has a high or a small crown. And then you pick out whether you want it to be a wide brim or short brim. And then you just kind of, look at it. And me, I always believe in kind of, tilting it to the side just a little bit.
Yes.
To me, that always helps.
That little edge to it that shows the confidence.
But I think exactly. So I think if you are new, if you're not a hat wearer, I would think you can never go wrong with a nice fedora. Most people, I don't think I've ever seen anyone that didn't look good in a nice fedora. It just depends on, there's so many different types. You just need to find the type that best suits you.
Yeah.
And makes you feel confident. You know what I mean? You don't want to have to think about it every other second. How do I look? So it's just a matter of finding the right one.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this, I think, was great because, the fedora that I have, that is just, if I'm not wearing hats all the time or every day, that is a go-to that works every single time, no matter what I'm wearing it with. It just works. So I think the fedora is a great go-to. This journey of yours in your career is and has been quite amazing to this point, Maxwell. And what I'm curious about,
thank you.
It really has been. I can't even believe how many years we've known each other for now. I mean, time really flies by. But have you faced any big obstacles or any personal obstacles that you had to overcome to get you to this point?
I think that, capital and finance is always an issue. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm alone, but then I realize that every designer, every artistic person goes through this. It's always about, capital and money at the end of the day. And then it's always about reinventing yourself so that you stay relevant. And so I see that that's something that I've, I continue to try to keep moving forward.
As
much as possible. Mm-hmm.
And so what would you consider all of these moments that have happened to you so far the big break, or are you still waiting for what you would consider to be the big break in your career?
Hold on just one second. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. I think the big break, sometimes I kind of wonder, did it come or is it coming? Sometimes I don't know. So I don't know. I kind of go like, okay, whatever. I think most of the, for the most part, because sometimes I think that when you're kind of sort of in it, you kind of go like, did I get the break or is it coming?
Right.
Because some things are so relative. Like some people look at me and they go like, oh my God, you're working with Martha Stewart. You're there.
Right.
And then I kind of go like, but you know, so you kind of have to look at things, kind of sort of like kind of step outside of it and kind of come back and look at it. I think my big break is still coming and I don't know, what that means yet.
Right.
I don't know what that means yet, but it's coming. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's coming.
Well, so
I think it's about change.
It's definitely some great things. I know exactly what you're saying. I think some great things, many great things have happened for you along the way. And so that makes me just so excited, like seeing your work on the magazines and seeing them, the editorial layouts and the campaigns. And those are, I definitely applaud them for you, on behalf of you, and in cheering for you. And so I look forward to that moment. I know whether big breaks happened already for everyone else who might be on the outside, I know that even bigger is coming for you. So
yeah. Yes. And I think any design person or people in design, I think you always want to be more financially secure. Mm-hmm. And I think that even then, do you really have it all, even still? You know, so I really try to just stay in the moment and be grateful and thankful and stretch and reach for bigger and better opportunities.
Yeah.
You know? And I never want to compare myself to anyone but me.
Yes, definitely.
I think that's really important. Like, you know, no one's path is your path. Your path is your path, and they have their own path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's really important for me to try to remember and reinstill in myself, to not judge myself on any level but my own level.
Right. Right. Because trust me, there is no other Anthony Maxwell. Let me just tell all the listeners right now.
Oh, thank you so much, Shazan. I really appreciate that. And congratulations to you too on everything. You've been so wonderful, great makeup artist. And you have such a wonderful family. I cannot believe that your kids are as big as they are now.
Oh,
it's great.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh. But what is next for Anthony Maxwell? For the listeners, what is next and where can they find you to see what's coming up next?
So we're going to continue to work with Martha and with American Made, Martha Stewart American Made. We're going to continue to work with them. So you can continue to look for us for new things coming with that. And then we are looking to re-enter back into the Bergdorf Goodman family, hopefully on a larger level. This time it'll be through Neiman Marcus. So we're really, you know, really pushing for that. And then we're kind of taking this thing abroad. You know, we're looking at a couple of venues in Japan.
Awesome.
And some in London. Uh-huh. So we're just really looking to like branch out now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is, again, I'm just continuously excited to see how it just continues to unfold. And my most sincere thanks to you for taking the time. I know that you're like in the midst of doing everything right now.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And again, listeners, like I've said, if you're not a hat wearer, one of the most noticeable accessories anyone can wear is a hat. So think about incorporating this into your style.
Oh, and tell them they can go onto our website.
Yes.
And go onto our website, anthonymaxwell.com.
Okay. And they can find everything there, any other social media sites?
And, Facebook is anthonymaxwell.com and Instagram is anthonymaxwellny_NY.
Okay. Excellent.
Anthony Maxwell _NY.
Okay. Yep. And then if you missed anything, then just look up Anthony Maxwell online. You will definitely find him. Thank you so much, Maxwell. And for our listeners, as always,
you deserve much,
And you're welcome. You're welcome. You deserve to live and be empowered in a beautiful life. And guys, you've been listening to The Skinny with me, Shazan and Anthony Maxwell. Thank you so, so very much for listening. Stay tuned for next week's podcast. Bye.